issues in your life, and you can try to cover it up. Topel, would you open that door just a little? We got to have circulation. Thank you, brother. And so you think everything's okay and everything is not okay. Some of you are lost and you make professions and you play the game for a little while and then you go right back to the old nature because there's not something supernatural wasn't done. Some of you, you went to camp or you were in revival and God dealt with you about something. And you told him you weren't ready to get right about it. Imagine a worm talking to the Almighty Savior, the Creator, and telling him you're not ready to get right with him. You talk about pride. Talk about arrogancy. Us human beings are loaded with it, aren't we? Now, how many shots are you going to get at being found faithful when the Lord comes back? You're going to get one. You're going to get one. I'm in Matthew 25. Let's stand together. We'll honor the reading of the Word of God. Matthew 25, I'm going to begin in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were what? What group are you in? And 5 of them, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. No power. No Holy Ghost. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil. Sounds like the prodigal, doesn't it? Give me my portion. Okay, give, the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. I got news for you. Their lamps were never lit. They have no oil. You can't light a lamp without any oil. Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, Oh, not so. Lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Buddy, there's an open door today. You could get saved. Amen. There's an open door today for God's children. You could get your heart right with the Lord. But there's coming a day that door is going to shut. Verse 11. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. That'd be a terrible thing to hear. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Lord, I love you. And Lord, I pray for your touch and your anointing as I preach what you put on my heart to preach. And then, Lord, I pray for your people that they would open their hearts, receive the Word of God by faith, and allow it to work effectually. It will change their lives if they'll believe the Word, Father. So I pray that you'd help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You and I know that study our Bibles, the next event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. And I'll tell you what, I am looking forward to that loud trumpet sound, and I'm looking forward to getting out of this world, getting out of this flesh. But you know what? I want to be found faithful. I want to be found with my heart right with God. I want to be found where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Does that make any sense to y'all? And just because you think that you're where you're supposed to be or doing, that doesn't mean that that's what God says. If you're saved, you have the Holy Ghost in your heart. And when you veer away from that, that Holy Ghost will convict you. When that Holy Ghost convicts you, you have two things. You can either grieve the Holy Ghost and go your own way, or you can yield to the Holy Ghost and get right and have that peace and joy. But listen to me. Those of you that are saved that grieve and eventually quench the Holy Ghost, everybody knows you're not right with God. I say everybody. Everybody that has any sense whatsoever. I was working on a construction crew one time, and I had this quote-unquote friend of mine. He said he was saved, but he was as backslid as the devil. And this guy that I was working for, and I had introduced him, and he had helped me out a couple days, and he took me aside one day, and he says, What's with that guy? What's with his attitude? And I said, oh, he's just not right with God and doesn't even know it. You know what y'all do? You play games with God. You know what I'm going to preach on today? I'm going to preach on the last place in the world I'd like to be. So what is that? That's out of the will of God. That's out of the will of God. If you look at verse number 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ giving you and I, his servants, the talents, the abilities, the opportunities that we have. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5, you all know the story, okay? 5 talents, the guy traded, got 5 more talents. Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful. Don't you want to hear that? Buddy, I want to hear that. But if we're going to hear that, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to earn it. Salvation is free. But if you're going to get commended, you're going to have to work for that according to the will of God. And then, so he says, verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then there's a guy with 2 talents. Same thing, verse 23. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Are these guys saved or lost? They're saved. Are y'all with me? They're saved. Now, verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Y'all think pastor's hard? Wait till you stand before the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Think your mom and dad are hard? Wait till you stand before the Lord. He said, verse 25, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful what? Is that what you want to hear? I don't want to hear that. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. You ever think about that? I mean, you talk about the Lord giving out rewards, okay? Let's say God gave Dan 2 talents. Dan's traded, he got 2 talents more, so he's got 4 talents, and the Lord says, well done. And so then you got some wicked, slothful servant, didn't do nothing, he got 2 talents. The Lord said, take that 2 talents and give it to Dan. So what is he going to do? He's going to reward faithfulness, people. He's going to reward those that were found faithful doing what they're supposed to be doing, living, taking care of business, doing the trading with the talents that they were supposed to do. In other words, we're living for him. We're not living for ourselves. And then it says, verse 29, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But for him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Ah. There shall be what? And what? Doesn't that sound like hell? That sounds like a terrible thing. Now you know and I know saved people don't go to hell. But I tell you, there's a place in the millennium people go that you're going to have your part with the unbelievers. You're not going to get to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. You said, why? Because you lived for yourself. You did what you wanted to do. You didn't do what God wanted you to do. Am I making any sense here? You had a lamp, but you didn't have no oil in it. You weren't ready. You weren't looking for the bridegroom to come back. And so, I don't know about y'all, but we don't just need 1 revival meeting a year. We need revival on a regular basis. And listen, there's some things today some of y'all don't need revival in, okay? But then there's some things in your life you need a revival in them, okay? We could talk about husbands and wives. Men, one of the greatest things that they get guilty of is taking their wives for granted. Thank you. Well, that's not right. shouldn't take your wife for granted. And so what do you need? You need a revival of your love for your wife. And don't take her for granted and appreciate. You can say amen here, Kevin, anytime you want to. Thank you very much. Do you follow what I'm saying? You know what? Some of you used to read your Bible pretty faithfully. And you know what you've done? You've gotten busy. You haven't, you've let it skip down or, you know, maybe just grab a verse here or there. You need a revival of your love for the Word of God. Am I making, see, there's all kinds. Some of you used to witness. Some of you used to pass tracts. Some of you used to serve the Lord. Some of you used to train your children. I mean, we could talk about a myriad of things here. And what do you want to be? You want to be found faithful in the Lord. Some of you used to jump at an opportunity to serve the Lord. Now, if it's convenient, you serve the Lord. Oh, I don't think the Lord's going to be real pleased with that. It wasn't convenient for him to go to Calvary. And so the psalmist, you know the verse, wilt thou not revive us again? So what do you mean? Wilt thou not revive us again and again and again? He said, why? Because we leak. We are flesh and blood. We're in a godless world. We bump shoulders with lost people every day going to work. The adversary attacks us. The flesh attacks us. And the world attacks us. And it's trying to pull every which way to keep us from hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Ephesians says it this way. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Hey, when Jesus comes back, I don't want to be spiritually asleep. When the rapture happens, I mean, whenever it happens, I want to be where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to do by the grace of God. Does that make any sense? If it's Sunday morning, I want to be behind the pulpit preaching. If I'm supposed to be at a revival meeting, I want to be at a revival meeting or family meeting preaching. If I'm supposed to be out visiting, I want to be out visiting. If I'm supposed to be at my desk studying, I want to study. If I'm supposed to be writing a letter, I want to be writing a letter. Amen? Hey, and if you're working, you ought to be working. Not just punching your time card. That's good preaching, but we won't go there. Turn with me to the book of Romans, if you would, please. Chapter 13. The last place in the world that I would like to be is out of the will of God. Not found faithful when the Lord comes back. Romans 13, look at verse number 10 with me. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is what? It's the fulfilling of the law. Isn't that good? Look at 1 Timothy chapter. Keep your finger in. I'm chasing a little rabbit here. Keep your finger in Romans 13 and go to 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. Now, the end of the commandment is what? Out of a what? And of a good conscience of faith unfeigned. Hey, you can give your body to be burned, but if you don't have charity, what? It ain't nothing. Amen? You can prophesy, you can speak in tongues, you can heal people, you can raise the dead, but if you don't have charity, you're what? It's nothing. Charity's kind and all those things that it lists there. Y'all with me? Let's go back to Romans 13. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, do y'all know what time it is? On God's clock. I get this email from this guy that's in Israel, and he's a saved man. I don't think he's a Bible believer, but he always puts a bunch of news items that's going on in Israel. And one of the news items was one of those Levite, one of those high priests, the high priest, whoever it is over there in the Levitical priesthood. And you know what he was talking about? How close the Messiah's return is. Now, you know those lost Jews, when they talk about the Messiah coming back, they're talking about the second advent of Jesus Christ. Well, those messiahs, that high priest was given all these things about what's going on in the world and going on with the Jews as the coming of the Messiah. Well, we know that it's at least 7 years earlier that the Lord comes back for his church. Amen. And so do you know what time it is? It's time for the Lord to come back. You ought to want to be faithful to the Lord. You ought to want to be found doing what. This isn't a time to lay the trowel down and lay the trumpet down. This is a time to hit it a little bit harder by the grace of God. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. I like that. Don't you like that? Well, why should we waste our time fussing and fighting? Hey, we are adults. We're supposed to be saved. Let's just work through our issues. And just because everybody isn't like you doesn't mean everybody isn't perfect. We are all weird, man. Huh? I'm weird. My wife is weird. Erica is weird. Earl is weird. Can you all say amen to that? And yet, we love each other. We labor together. We pray for one another. We help one another. We comfort one another. So just get over that fleshy foolishness, that childishness, and just go on for God. Verse 7, let us walk honestly. Boy, that's good preaching. You shouldn't be a liar. Shouldn't be a sneak. Shouldn't be a phony. As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You shouldn't. Hey, you know what some of y'all do? You go to try to fulfill the lust of your flesh. Instead of staying away from it, you jump into it. You don't have a spiritual bone in your body. Turn with me, if you would, to Judges chapter 16. This is where some of you are this morning. So why are you saying this? Because I'm trying to help you. Amen. I'm trying to help you. Chapter 16, the book of Judges, verse 20. In verse 20, it says, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. I want to ask you a question. Where is Samson right now? Somebody raise your hand and tell me. AJ, that's true. I want specifically, where is he, Brian? In Delilah's lap. Tell me what a Jewish unmarried man is doing laying in the lap of a Gentile woman. You go, that's terrible! You know where some of you are today? You're in Delilah's lap. Look with me now, verse 20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not. What does wist not mean? He didn't know. K-N-O-W. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. The same man who took the jawbone of an ass and slew 1,000 Philistines. The same man who, hey, and listen to me, he was not some muscle-bound Atlas. He was probably some skinny dude like Joshua. Oh, yeah. You said, oh, I thought he was some big, yeah, that's because you look at picture books and cartoons and stuff. I'm telling you, the thing about Samson is the power of God came on him. He didn't do it because he was muscle-bound. He did it because he had the power of God. He picked up the gates of Gaza and carried them. Are y'all with me? Yeah. But the same guy now who was so full of the Holy Ghost, what? He doesn't even know God's gone. God's not talking to him. God's not walking with him. Samson says, well, wrong, Samson. Verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Can I ask you something? How much time did God give Samson? I mean, the first time he messed up, did God shave his head off and poke his eyes out and put him in jail? He gave him space of grace, space to repent. Space to get right. But what did Samson do? Just kept living for himself. Listen, if there's a great example in the Bible of the lust of the flesh, that's Samson. He would not put that flesh down, and he would not yield to the Holy Ghost, He just kept, because he always had women trouble. Didn't he always have women trouble? He always had woman trouble. And he just, what is that? That's the lust of the flesh. And he always picked the wrong what? The wrong women. He didn't mess around with one Jewish woman. He's always going after Gentile women. Is that Bible? So what did he do? He is out of the will of God. You know what he's not? He's not zealous for the Lord. Can I ask you today, are you zealous for the Lord? Are you looking for opportunities to serve? Could I show you something about zealous? I just read this in my devotions this morning, and so I added it to my message. Go with me to Numbers 25. Numbers 25. In Numbers 25, that is finishing up where Balaam was blessing the children of Israel instead of cursing them, because that's what Balak wanted. But Balaam was wicked. He was deceitful. He loved money and he loved prestige and position. And so he taught the Moabites how to go in and go whoring around with the guys. So the judgment of God came. Look with me in verse number 6 of Numbers 25. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. That's pretty bold, isn't it? I mean, number one, you're with a Gentile woman. You're just supposed to be with saved women. Number two, he brings her because she is a whorish woman, and he brings her in front of everybody, takes her into the tent to let everybody know he's going to commit fornication with this woman. That's bold. Verse 7. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, so it's Aaron's grandson, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. That would be like my Jordan. Or that would be like my Andrew. Right? Some sin going on in the camp. And it says, he saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. You know what a javelin is? And he went after the man of Israel into the tent. He didn't even knock, ring the doorbell, and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so that the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. Hey, you understand the situation, the position they were in? He pulled them. So, oh, that's a terrible thing. Let me show you what God thought about it. Verse 9. And those that died in the plague were 20. The plague was stayed when Phinehas did that. And 24,000 died. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it in his seed after him. Even, do you see what I'm getting at? Here's a young man, Topel, a young man. He's just a young man. And buddy, he loves the Lord and he's zealous to do something. He didn't have to be told, go get a javelin. He got a javelin because that bothered him. That man would grab that woman and go fornicate in front of everybody. And he runs in that tent. He runs them both through there. He goes, there, let the judgment of God be on you. God said, oh, I like that. I'll take the plague off of you. And he says, I'll tell you what, Eleazar, I'll bless you. I'll bless your kids. I'll bless your grandkids. I'll bless your grandkids. That's our God. Zealous. Are you zealous? I know you're zealous about some stuff. Sports. Huh? TV. Movies. Games. Worldliness. But how zealous are you for God? You know, when I mentioned the new ministry, what was your first thought? Oh, I wonder how I get out of that. Oh, you don't have to get out of it. We don't need you. You don't want to do it? We don't want you doing it. We don't need you. We don't need that bad spirit you got. We don't need that phoniness walking in. Say amen right there. Man, I'll put Gino and Andrew up there. They'll do a better job than some of you older ones with a bad attitude. Say amen. That's right. I'll let these kids sing. They'll get some God on them. Oh, well, I'm busy. Oh, yeah, you're busy. You're busy with the wrong stuff. Anyway, He wasn't zealous. He wasn't on fire for the Lord. I mean, this is a man that's killing Philistines. He was a judge over the nation of Israel. And yet he lived a carnal, self-serving life. How are you doing today? Said, are you accusing me? Look up here. If God is dialing your number, you need to pick up the phone. Some of you are drifting. There's no zeal in your life. Go with me to, I want to say something. Samson didn't have a Bible. Samson didn't have a church. Samson didn't have godly friends. But you know what? We've got a Bible. We've got a church. We've got godly friends. You know what we can have? We can have a hope for revival, and we can have a hope to be faithful. Amen? Hey, listen to me. You don't think this is important, but every time those doors are open, if you're not in your seat, somebody's discouraged. And every time those doors are open and you're in your seat, you know what you are? You're an encouragement to others because you're faithful. You're just where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing. Unless you're sick or out of town, you know what I'm talking about. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 24. 2 Kings chapter 24. What were the Jews down in Egypt? They were slaves. I mean, what kind of a life is the life of a slave? You know what some saved people are? They're slaves to the world. They're slaves to Egypt. If Egypt says cut your hair, they cut their hair. If Egypt says put these breeches on, they put those breeches on. If Egypt says do this, they do that. If Egypt says like this, like that. Are you all with me? You're a slave to Egypt. That's what the Jews were. But what did the Lord do for them? He delivered them. Buddy, the 10 plagues and opening up the Red Sea and all that kind of, he delivered them. I mean, they see this boggles my mind, like New Testament saved people boggle my mind. They saw the 10 plagues. They saw the Red Sea parted. They saw all the Egyptians drown in the Red Sea. Did you ever hear about the archaeological stuff about the Red Sea? You know, one guy in archaeology said where the Jews passed over the Red Sea was only 2 or 3 inches. And this old lady was in church, and this preacher's up there preaching about the Jews crossing over the Red Sea. He says, well, that's not such a big... She started shouting because, you know, it was going over the Red Sea. And he said, well, it's not such a big deal. He said the water was only 2 or 3 inches where those Jews went by. Of course, that's not true. You know, the Bible says it went over on dry land. But she says, it was only 2 or 3 inches? He said, yeah. She goes, well, praise the Lord, glory be to God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He goes, what in the world are you shouting about now? He said, what a miracle that God drowned all those Egyptians in 2 inches of water. Amen? They saw water out of the rock. They saw manna come down from heaven. And yet, what did they do? They wandered in the wilderness because they doubted the love of God, doubted the power of God, and disobeyed the commandments of God. They didn't trust them. So they get in the wilderness. So that whole generation dies off. Huh? Think. Joshua and Caleb wake up every morning. Hey, let's go make a body count. The sooner these suckers die, the sooner we get to go in the promised land. Is that right? That from 20 years old and upward, when they rejected them, God said, that generation is going to die in the wilderness. So Joshua and Caleb come. 1, 2, 3, 35, 36, 37. Praise God. 37 more. Hallelujah. Is that what you want to be? A dead body in the wilderness? Not trust God? Not be faithful to God? Not be zealous for the Lord? So then they cross over, Joshua, cross over into Canaan, the land of victory. Well, surely now, they've seen the deliverance out of Egypt. They've seen all the miracles of God. They saw that unbelieving generation die off in the wilderness. Surely they're going to trust God in the promised land, right? Wrong. So then what do you have? The Babylonian captivity. Look at 2 Kings 24. Look at verse 14. And he carried away all Jerusalem. This is Nebuchadnezzar. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives. And all, what were they? Captives. You see that captive stuff? Captives. Hey, can I chase a little rabbit here just real quick? Go to 2 Timothy with me, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. It's a Babylonian captivity. The Babylonians are the enemies of the children of Israel. Is that right? And they took them what? Captive. Is that real close to being a slave? That's real close. So they were slaves in Egypt. Now they're captives in the land of Babylon. Well, how are we doing? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken, what? By him at his will. Just like that. You know what it is? We're easy for the devil to take captive. That's what it says. Just take them captive. Just lay a little snare here, a little temptation here, a little fleshly thing here. Say amen. Okay, I'm back in 2 Kings 24. Verse 16, and all the men of might, even 7,000, craftsmen and smiths 1,000, all that were strong and apt for war, even them, the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. You know what? I don't want to be a captive. I don't want to be a slave to Egypt or to Babylon when Jesus comes back. That's the last place in the world that I want to be. Okay, what happened to the Jews? Well, we could spend a lot of time, but basically, they fell asleep spiritually. And they were just living a carnal, selfish life. Does that make any sense to you? That's why it says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. And so they fell asleep spiritually. When they fell asleep spiritually, you know what they did? They lost the blessings of God. Said, how did they lose the blessing of God? That's what I want to show you today. Turn with me to Psalms 78. Psalms 78. Look at Psalm 78 and verse number 10. Psalm 78, verse 10. They kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in his law, and forget his works and his wonders that he had showed them. What did they do? They became covenant breakers. So what are you getting at? Remember Samson, he was a Nazirite from his mother's womb. And the Nazirites were not allowed to be around any dead bodies. Okay? If they were around a dead body, then they had to shave their head. They had to offer up a sacrifice, and they had to come apart for that for a certain length of time to get clean. Do you remember Samson? He saw that carcass of the lion. He killed that lion, and then he went back, and there was the honey in the lion. Do you all remember that? Well, what did he do? He broke the covenant. He broke the vow of the Nazirite. And what did he do about it? He did nothing about it. Be sure your sin will find you out. What did Delilah do to him? Shaved his head. What did they do? They poked his eyes out and put him in fetters, and he became a slave. He became a captive to the Philistines. Why? He broke the covenant. What covenant? When we talk about the covenant, we're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about promises you made the Lord. Do y'all remember? See, some of you, what you should do is you should write these promises, you know, about dedicating your life to the Lord and yielding your life to the Lord and whatever the Lord wants, that's what you'll do. Are y'all with me? Or making a vow about, you know, never doing this, or a vow about always doing this. Are y'all with me? But you've forgotten. Got in the lap of Delilah. But I tell you, judgments are coming. He disobeyed the Word of God. Not only did he do that, look with me in Nehemiah chapter 9. I want to be found faithful. I know you people. I know down in your hearts that's what you want. But just wanting it isn't going to get the job done, people. Nehemiah 9, look at verse 16 with me. So they fell asleep. The Jews fell asleep. They were taken captives in Babylon. They were slaves in Egypt. They lost the blessings of the Lord. You know what they needed? They needed a revival, guys. And you and I, we need revival. Nehemiah 9, verse 16. And they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks. You ever harden your neck? Those of you that are saying no, I can tell you you have. There's times I've come to you and talked to you about something and you refused it. You hardened your neck. So, well, you're just a man. I'm the pastor. You're sitting in Old Paths Baptist Church. Hey, listen to me. I didn't design the authority that God laid out. God designed it. God gave the church. God gave the man of God because you need that. And so you hardened your neck and hardened and hearkened not to thy commandments. And verse 17, and refused to what? Obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks in their rebellion, appointed a captain to return to their bondage. Thank God for the buts in the Bible. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them what? Not. Go to Hebrews 13. Some of y'all say, oh, I'm doing what God wants me to do. Not if you're not obeying your pastor. Hebrews 13. I'm not hardening my neck. You're hardening your neck when you don't follow your pastor's counsel. I'm in Hebrews 13. Look at verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Have I spoken to you the word of God? Kathy, how long have you been coming to church? 3 years? 2 years? 5 years? 17? Okay, did you ever come to church and not get preached to, not get the word of God? Kevin, how long have you been coming to Old Paths? 96? Over 21 years. You ever go to church and not get the word of God? Dan, you've been here 20 years, right? Are y'all with me? Tina, you're only 27 years old. You ever come to church and not get preaching? Not get the word of God? Are y'all with me here? Hey, we take church seriously. Some of you may just blow in and blow out and not think it's that important, but we think every service is important. We think God's got a message for us and God wants us to do something for Him. We're not just putting in time. We're looking for God. So remember them that have rule over you and have spoken unto you the word of God. Whose faith follow? You follow me. Am I going to take you into a den of iniquity? Huh? A bar room? A dance hall? No, 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 no. You hook your bumper to my bumper, you won't be too bad. But you can't say that. Some of you can't say that to young people. Just hook your bumper to mine. No! You take them bad places! Why? Because you're not listening to your pastor. Look at verse... where am I? I'm still in. I did 7. 17. Verse 17. What's that? Everybody read the first word of verse 17. That's where you got your problem. A rebel doesn't want to what? Doesn't want to obey. Can you say amen there? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Whose job is that? That's your job. That's what the Bible says. Is that right? But not you. You refused reproof. You don't like me because I try to help you get right with the Lord. You don't like me because I tell you to do things the Bible tells you to do and you don't want to do them. That's your flesh. Boy, it's getting quiet in here now, isn't it? Well, let's see. Have I hurt you? Have I hurt you? Well, you've been... Have I hurt you? How about you, Erica? Little bus kid? Naomi? Kevin? How about you, Dawn? Ever hurt you? Have I talked hard things to you? Yeah. Never hurt you. Anna, you've been hurt at the Old Paths Baptist Church. You came back with those two boys. But he got help. It's because you wanted help. Topel and Kendra have been here a year. But he would see God working in their family. He said, why? That's submitted to the man of God. I don't mean to tell tales out of school, but Topel, once in a while, he'll say, is everything okay? Am I displeasing you? And is everything okay? He's checking in with his pastor to make sure what? His heart's right with God. Say amen right there. And I didn't mean to embarrass you, Topel. But I think you've come a long way. And I think you've got a long way to go. Amen? We saw Kendra get saved this year. Man. No, but you know better. You're so smart. No, you're a rebel. That's what the book says. You know better. You don't need counsel. Why would a 22 or 23-year-old kid seek counsel? You know everything. You made it through the teenage years. You don't need dad's wisdom. You don't need Pastor Matt's wisdom. You don't need pastor's wisdom. Amen. That is good preaching, amen. You want God's blessing in your life? Some of you are making a wrong turn in your life. You're right there now. And you're so proud and you're so stiff-necked and you're so hard-hearted and you're stupid. Said, what did you say? I said, you're stupid. You are messing your life up. You can't see past that nose of yours. And I mean the weeks and the months and the years down the road. You are going to suffer the captivity of the devil. We're trying to help you. And you're so ignorant. You're just going to go ahead and make a stupid decision. And then you got to live with him. Dumb, dumb, dumb. They refuse rebuke. They refuse to obey. Turn with me to 2 Timothy now. They refuse to obey. I want to show you something in the Bible. They refuse reproof. Refuse reproof. 2 Timothy, look at chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? It's profitable for doctrine, for what? Whoa, what's reproof? That's telling you you're wrong, you need to turn around and do right. Amen? For reproof, for correction. You're not doing it right. Straighten up. Is that what the Bible's saying? For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Chapter 4. I charge thee, that would be Timothy, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. When he comes back and he finds us what were those women there? 10 virgins. We're waiting for him. That's what we're doing. We're waiting for the Lord to come back. While we're waiting for him to come back, we're waiting for him. We're waiting on him. We're trying to serve the Lord. We're trying to glorify his holy name best way we know how. Verse 6, preach the word. You know what bothers me when I go someplace and they say, our next speaker will be Brother Keenan. Now, Keenan may be a lot of things, but I'll tell you what he ain't. He's not a speaker. Amen. So what are you? I'm a preacher. I didn't come to share nothing with you. Listen, preaching lays a demand at the heart's door by the word of God. And when that demand is laid at your door, now it's you who will either accept or reject the word of God. And then you stand in judgment for that. I will stand in judgment for whether or not I preach the word. So he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. Is that negative or positive? It's negative. Rebuke. Is that negative or positive? But some of you are such sensitive souls. You get your little feelings hurt when somebody rebukes you. You sissy. I don't even want to play golf with you. You'll whine because your ball goes in the weeds. I'm surely not going to go to battle with you. Why? You'd be running off, and there I am, left standing there holding the gun by myself, and you're gone. Coward. Say amen. Yeah. Mrs. Keenan was listening to, it was either Brother Lanny or it was Brother Green. And they said back in the 50s, people went to church because they wanted to hear the word of God preached. And they wanted to grow in the Lord and the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Then the 80s came by. And then people were judging where they went to church according to what the Sunday school was and what the children's programs were. And now they go to church because of how they feel after they leave. You know what? I hope during preaching you feel so rotten, amen, so low down, so that you'll get right with God. And if you get right with God when you leave, you'll feel good. And then if you won't humble down and you won't get, I hope you walk out the door as miserable as a devil's sister. I hope the cloud of God's judgment follows you around. You can't even smile anymore. He said, why? Conviction. He said, you're mean. I'm trying to help you. How are you going to, what condition are you going to be in when he comes back? Is your lamp going to be out of oil? You're going to be asleep? You're going to be one of those unprofitable servants that the Lord said, cast them into outer darkness. There's weeping. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the messages you kids have heard, you adults have heard? Can you imagine all the times the Holy Ghost has dealt with you? Can you imagine the people that have reached out into your life and tried to help you? But no, you're smart. You reject all of that, and then you die, and you stand before the Lord. He says, take that talent, give it to somebody else, chuck them out. Get them at unprofitable, and you go, why didn't I? I'll tell you why, because you're stubborn and rebellious and self-willed. You don't appreciate what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. I am so simple-minded that when I got saved, I realized I was a wreck. I was a wreck. I was going to hell. I was going to burn in the lake of fire forever. And I had realized at 22 years of age, I made all the wrong decisions in life. I had messed up my body, messed up my mind, messed up my life. Do you got that? And when I got in church and that man of God said God had a plan, I was just simple-minded enough to say, he is smarter than me, and I'm going to do what he wants me to do. And that's where I am 43 years later, by the grace of God. Buddy, ain't nobody in here that's as blessed as I am. I hope you'd argue with me. I'm being it. I'm blessed. Lord, have mercy. No, but you're so smart. 15, 18, 22, 27, whatever you are, 98. He's gonna get one shot when he comes back to find you faithful. They refused rebuke. They refused it. Look what he says. The time will come in verse 3 that they will not endure what? They don't want sound doctrine, Topel. They want to live the way they want to live. And after their own lust, shall heap to themselves teachers. So you know what they do? They go find a teacher. It tickles their ears. Makes them feel good. Yeah, good. Have a good time. See you at the judgment. Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to what? Fables. Fables. Let's go to Jeremiah 11. They lost the blessing of God because they became covenant breakers. They were disobedient to the word of God. They refused reproof. They would not be corrected by the man of God. And Jeremiah chapter 11 tells us they became idolaters. Jeremiah chapter 11. Look at verse 10. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. There they are, refusing to hear the words. And they went after other gods to serve them. What's that called? That's idolatry. I think in the New Testament it talks about covetousness being as the what? Sin of idolatry. What do you need? What do you need to live? The Bible says food and raiment. Is that what it says? Now who in this room, all we have is food and raiment? We got a lot, guys. And it's because of the goodness of the Lord. It says, with food and rent. But we're not content. He said, why? Because you're messing with the world. I'll tell you what this world will make you. This world will make you feel that you've got to do all the entertainment, all the pleasure, all the fun, all the flash, all the sis-kumba stuff. That is not the Christian life. This is the time to labor for the Lord. The time to rule with Him is going to be in the future. Now is not the time for pleasure and rest. Now is the time. Work, for the night is coming when no man can work anymore. Now, if you're going to do anything for God, you've got to do it now. And how long do you got to live? I mean, what is there anything keeping Jesus from coming back tonight? Would you like for him to come back tonight? Has your life up to this point, have you accomplished what God wants you to accomplish? Are you doing what God... And listen, none of us are perfect. Don't misunderstand me. God, Lee, we have devotions every morning because from one morning to the next morning, we get into all kinds of trouble. Say amen. Sure. We got to get that book, get that water of the Word, of wash us off. We give it in. This world is filthy. This world is vile. And those of you dum-dums that watch TV and Hollywood movies and internet stuff, you just get infatuated with that and it just overcomes you. You don't think right. If y'all would read your Bibles, you'd agree with my preaching. You'd know I'm preaching the Word of God. The reason you don't think I'm preaching the Word of God is you don't read the Word of God. You watch too much television, read too much junk, spend too much time on social media. Social media. Jeez. I don't know. You talk about a waste of time. You know, redeeming the time. My Bible says redeeming the time for the days are evil. Tell me how much time you spend on social media every day and tell me how much time you spend in prayer and reading your Bible. They became idolaters. Can I show you something? Are you all done yet? No, we got plenty of time. 1 Samuel 12. Church doesn't start till 6 tonight. First, no, I'm closer to done than you think. They became idolaters. I don't want to be an idolater. Can I share something? Kathy, I can remember as a kid growing up in that Catholic church, they had all those idols. Okay, they had the crucifix. And I mean, they told you that if you pray to those things and everything, and I'm telling you what, I can go back in my mind's eye as a kid, as a teenager, and I'd walk into that church and I'd go into that little booth and I'd tell that priest my sins and I'd ask him to get me forgiveness, you know, and he'd tell me to go say so many Hail Marys and so many Our Fathers, and I'd go down there and I always had a few coins in my pocket when I went to confession, because what they would do is they would give you penance. Those prayers were penance that you had to pay. And I would go down there, and they had a statue on the right-hand side. In the middle was a crucifix. On the right-hand side was a statue of Mary. On the left-hand side was a statue of St. Jude, because I went to St. Jude Church. And I would go down there, and I'd kneel down in front of that statue of Mary. And she was up there in her little alcove, and they had a big thing of candles, and they had a little box in there. And I'd put those coins in that box, and I'd light that candle, and I'd bow my head, and I said, Lord, the priest told me I had to say so many Hail Marys and so many Our Fathers, get my sins forgiven. And so then I'd say the prayers. And you know what I did? I felt better. But you know what? There is no change in my life, buddy. I remember many a time I had to take a test in school. And in every classroom, because I went to private Catholic schools, every classroom there was a crucifix. And every classroom, some nun had some Blessed Mother or St. Jude or St. somebody, okay? And I can remember many a times when the nuns passed out the test, I'd bow my head and I'd go, in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and I'd go, Mary. I said, these sisters told us that if we'd ask you anything, that you'd tell Jesus to do it for us. I said, Mary, I want to get 100 on this test. Would you ask Jesus to help me get 100 on this test? But I didn't study for it. And she didn't do it for me. I flunked. Or got a D. So what was I? I was captured. I was caught in that religious web. It's wicked. As a 22-year-old man, I was still caught in that web. I was going to hell. But the Lord came looking for me. Golly. I remember in that little office at La Casa de Spa, Bob opened up that Bible. There I sat, long hair, 22 years old, gone to hell. And the sweet Holy Ghost of God, he enlightened me. And I saw that Jesus died for my sins. I saw I could get saved by the grace of God. I said, what'd you do? I got saved. Now, I don't know what happened to some of you, because you didn't change like I changed. I got saved. Nobody had to tell me, Dawn, you ought to tell somebody about Jesus. I ran as fast as I could to her place and told her about the Lord. I told my dad about the Lord.
But he didn't like that one little bit. Amen. She went to church for me. Look at me. I didn't get a haircut right away, Nathaniel. I didn't get rid of my hippie clothes right away. I didn't get rid of my cute little necklace right away. But I started living different.
Amen.
And she, 3 weeks later, she prayed, Lord, I don't know what you did to Mike, but I want what he's got. Has anybody seen anything in you that they want? That Bible says, except you be converted. There should be, if any man be in Christ, he's a new, you can't help it. It's a new nature. It's God's nature, William. You don't have to jack up the old nature. The old nature's still there. That's what we got so much trouble with. But when that Holy Ghost moves in, we got God's nature in us.
Right.
Some of you are going, oh, I'm not liking this. You got the wrong nature. You need to get born again. Look at 1 Samuel. You know Samuel is one of my favorite prophets. Look what he says in chapter 12 and verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Could we not all say that we have all done all this wickedness? Well, sure. I mean, we're guilty. But what's the preacher say? Whoa, 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 don't turn aside from, don't stop following the Lord. You're in a good place. Just keep going on by the grace of God. Look what he says, verse 21. Turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. I pray for you all. You are all. I pray for you by name. I don't just say, Lord, bless the Clare family. Lord, bless the Angus family. No, I pray for you by name. Pray for your children by name. I said, why? Because that verse, God spoke to my verse as a pastor. And he says, not just pray, but I will what? I will teach you the good and the right way. So I don't like that. It's not Kenan's way. It's God's way. It's the Word of God. Lord, have mercy. Just as us men are responsible for our wives and our children, Pastor Mike Kenan is responsible for Old Paths Baptist Church and the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God that goes on here. I will give account. I will give account for preaching it. You will give account for what you did with it. And then look what it says. I will teach you the good and the right way. Verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. And consider how great things he hath done for you. Can you say amen to that? Great things he's done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both you and your king. They became idolaters. Samuel, even knowing that the problems that they had, he loved them, he prayed for them, he preached to them, he taught them, he tried to help them. Let me give you one more. Turn to Judges chapter 3. They lost the blessings of God because they became covenant breakers, they disobeyed the word, they refused reproof, and they became idolaters. And then Judges chapter 3, we're going to see that they compromised with the ungodly nations around them. Judges 3 verse 5. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. Guys, see the problem there, guys? What are the Jews doing? They're compromising with the ungodly nations around them. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord, their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Come out from among them, and be ye what? Separate, saith the Lord. And be not conformed. Guys, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Okay, now this is what some of you are going to say. I can hang around all those lost people, all those ungodly people, and I'll be okay. You're wrong. Are you telling me that you're stronger than Solomon? Are you telling me you're wiser than Solomon? Turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Look at Deuteronomy 17. Let's just pick up in verse 14. This is when the Jews, they wanted a king. And of course, Saul was their first king. And it says in verse 14, "When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother." Verse 16, "But he shall not multiply horses to himself." Did Solomon multiply horses? He did. Where did he get them from? Got them out of Egypt. "Nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself." Did Solomon do that? Hey, listen, did Solomon have a copy of this? Oh, sure he did. That's the Pentateuch. He had a copy of it. He read it. He probably had it memorized. Don't multiply wives. How'd he do with that? How many wives did he have? 300? How many concubines? 700? That's 1,000 women. I love my wife, but she's a handful. Why would you want 200 of them? Can you imagine? Come on, ladies, look up here. You need tender love and care. Amen? You don't want to divide that care up with 14 other women. Amen? Can't get amens out here for nothing. Look, neither shall he multiply wives to himself that his heart turn not away. What did God say would happen if you got a bunch of wives? They'd turn your heart. What did those women do to Solomon? What was Solomon building after he built the temple? He was building places of worship where they offered babies as sacrifice because he messed around with those ungodly nations and ungodly women from those nations. You're going to tell me you're smarter, you're wiser, you're stronger than Solomon? No, I know you're not. But that's what you say. Well, I can hang around the ungodly people. I can go here, I can go there, I can do this, I can do that. No, you're wrong. It was because they compromised with those ungodly nations around them that they fell. Go to 1 Kings chapter 11. Look at verse 1. 1 Kings 11, verse 1. Can I ask you a question? How did Solomon start out? How did he start out, Pete? How good? Just good? No, he started out really good. God said, "Solomon, because David's your daddy, whatever you pray, I'll give it to you." What could he have prayed for? Anything. He could have prayed for a worldwide kingdom. He could have prayed for all the riches in the world. What did he pray for? Wisdom to lead God's people. That's starting pretty good. I look around here, you know how y'all have started? You started good. But you don't win a race on your start. I ran dashes. I ran the 100-yard dash. That's how old I am. They didn't do the 100-meter. They did the 100-yard when I was in grade school. I could run the 100-yard dash in about 7 seconds. Sometimes I'd do 6.9 seconds. Sometimes I'd do 7.1. If I had a bad day, it was 7.2 seconds. You said, is that fast? That's pretty fast. It's not extremely fast. I didn't win the states at 6.9. And then I got involved in distance. And I can remember that because I was used to dashes, I'd start out those dishes, and I'd start out. And the coach took me aside and he said, "Mike," he said, "these distances are different from the dashes." He says, "Your start is not as important in the distance as it is in the dashes." He says, "What you want to do is you want to run so that you got something that you can expend at the end of that race and burst through." And so I was usually at the back of the pack in the distance races. But when I got 75% done, that's when I, buddy, dropped it down in the low, kicked it into gear, and started going. And because I had taken it easy, I was able to, and I won a lot of races that way. You know what the Christian life is? It's that distance. It's that marathon. And it's not how you started out. And I'm glad you started out good. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But you want to finish right. You don't. The last place in the world I want to be is out of the will of God. And so in chapter 11, verse 1, Solomon loved many strange women. Look at verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. He's old now. He had been serving the Lord. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. Can I ask you something this morning? Look up here. You don't have to answer out loud. Answer in your heart. The Bible says about Solomon, his wives turned away his heart. What's turning away your heart? Some woman? Some game? Some money? Some job? Some hobby? Some desire that you have in this world? What's turning your heart away from God? For Solomon, it was the women. Turned his heart. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Is your heart perfect with God this morning? All accounts between him and him? Are you zealous for the Lord? Are you obedient to his word? Are you keeping the covenants and the promises and the vows that you made with the Lord? There's no idols in your life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols, 1 John says. I don't want to finish like Solomon finished. I don't want to finish like Noah finished. I don't want to finish like Gideon finished. Listen, I can't touch Noah's hem. I can't touch Gideon's hem. But you know that Bible says Noah ended up drunk in a cave committing incest, and it goes off the pages of Scripture that way. Gideon, all that great work he did, okay, but he made a golden ephod that was a snare to the children of Israel, and they worshiped that as a false idol. Gideon did that, and then he goes off the pages. I don't want to end that way. I want to finish right. And y'all say, well, I got my whole life ahead of me. Jesus is coming back. I don't know if you got your whole life ahead of you. This is 2018. We've been looking for Jesus to come back for 43 years since I got saved. Guess what? He's coming back. There's nothing needs to be fulfilled in that book. So, are you going to be like the five foolish virgins who fell asleep, their oils are empty, their lamps are empty of oil, no Holy Ghost, no being right with God, and the Lord comes back and he closes the door on them and they're an unprofitable servant and he casts them into the outer darkness? Or will you be a virgin that has oil in the lamp and be found faithfully trading those talents that he has given you in the will of God, doing what God wants you to do? If your heart's not right with God this morning, you should take care of it this morning. Let's pray.